is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Only three more sleeps, guys, until we save New Jersey. That's right. We're almost there, have almost crossed the finish line, and things are getting awfully interesting during the close, the end game of election 2025. Where do we stand? Where do we go from here? What's the next 72 hours look like? Your old pal Matt Rooney has you covered here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between for the finale episode of this year's election cycle. It was a pleasure to share it with you most of the time. These things always tend to make me lose a little bit of sleep and have a few extra white hairs, those hairs that have not already been turned like the autumn leaves by my delightful children. But my favorite child is here with us on air for this episode of our little program, the one, the only, producer Dan Valdez. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Happy belated Halloween.
Yes, you as well.
How was it? How was your spooktacular day?
It was a good time.
Dump any goat's blood on anybody? Anybody dump any on you?
We just, you know, we hung out at the neighbor's house a couple bit, and then we went to a bar out in Phoenixville with a couple of coworkers and friends, and was out until like 2 in the morning.
Were you costumed or not costumed?
No, we were not.
Okay, that's kind of. Do you dress up at all on Halloween? Someone that goes as big and as hard on the holiday as you?
I'm into like the more the activities more than just dressing up. I don't really like the whole dressing up thing.
So, okay. All right. Yeah.
It might be weird to some people, but I'm not about it.
Hey, listen, at Christmas, some people are into trees. Some people are into the music. Some people aren't. You got to do you.
Yeah. My Halloween still continues until the 15th of November.
Well, never really ends. We've been over this on other programs. You go to haunted attractions throughout the year.
This is correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good one. I went trick-or-treating with the little ghouls, and it was mostly uneventful. They got a little oversugared, which is what tends to happen on this holiday, but no major snafus. Everything went fine. They eventually went to bed. I was able to watch about half of Halloween before I fell asleep. And I'm referring to the original.
Okay. The OG.
The OG Halloween. Yeah, I can't really get into the subsequent ones.
The only subsequent one that makes a lot of sense, and you should watch, is the Rob Zombie one. The Rob Zombie first one.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite Halloween.
Yeah, I like the original with, Jamie Lee Curtis is in a bunch of them. It was actually her first film.
Most of them.
Yeah, she's in most of them. But Donald Pleasance, who plays Dr. Loomis, I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love that character. And I enjoy how politically incorrect his character is. This is a 1978 movie. And you've got someone, Michael Myers, who I don't know if we ever really figure it out during the course of the canon. I mean, is he possessed? Is he mentally ill? Is he a demon? I don't know if that's ever definitively resolved because there's been so many different versions of this thing. You know, today we would be deeply concerned about what his parents did to him when he was a child. We'd be talking about how he was a victim of society.
This is what his sister did.
What his sister did, whatever, right? Family member. Dr. Loomis back then, they're like, well, what do you recommend for Michael Myers? And he's like, death. Death. He deserves death.
I think in the later movies, they kind of made him like a entity that just can't die. And I hate when horror movies do that. But I think in the original one, he was just like a mentally ill kid.
Well, it robs you of the backstory, right? Like the idea of your... Because at the time he killed his sister, he was what, like 12?
Yeah, because his sister didn't take him trick-or-treating.
Right, because sister didn't take him trick-or-treating. I mean, that is way scarier than some type of supernatural being.
Yeah, that's how they made him out in the newer movies. That's what Blumhouse did, and I'm like, this is just not good.
Yeah, I'm not loving it. Not loving it at all. I am loving the state of the race as we enter the final days of election 2025. Jack Cittarelli, the Republican candidate, versus Mikey Sherrill, the helicopter mom who wants to freeze your electric bills, which of course is impossible. She can't do that. She might be able to defer the increase, but she can't freeze them. It's a non-starter, folks. Who's going to win? Who's ahead? Who has the advantage? Well, in the closing hours of this race, we got a brand new poll, which we all know how much Daniel loves polls. Dan would do 2 hours every Saturday night here on this program just talking about polls if I let it happen. But we can't do that, Dan. You can't always get what you want. Sometimes you get what you need. This is from Atlas Intel, which is one of the most reliable pollsters in the country based upon their track record. It's a gold standard poll, one of the few that both the left and the right can't really argue with. Not that they always get it 100% correct, but, you know, we're not going to put them in the same garbage bin as, you know, a Quinnipiac or a YouGov or something that is constantly missing by large margins and usually in the Democrat direction. This new Atlas Intel poll has Mikey Sherrill ahead by less than a point, 0.9. And it was conducted over the course of October 25th through October 30th, Mischief Night, which, interesting aside, and Daniel probably knows this, our area, our core area here in the Delaware Valley, it's like the only place that anybody in the country refers to it as Mischief Night.
It's also not really a thing anymore.
It's not really a thing anymore. When I was little, in like the 80s and 90s, there were some notorious incidents, some fires, some vandalism. That's definitely dropped off, probably because kids are home playing video games or something. Call of Duty has supplanted Mischief Night. In a couple places, they refer to it as Devil's Night. But I saw one of those cool little graphs that people love to share, differences across the country, and almost the entire country, there's no concept of this. But that's your side. Mikey Sherrill ahead by less than a point, and there's some fascinating statistics, or I should say findings, right, when you get a little bit deeper into this Atlas Intel poll. Let me give you just one example. Jack Cittarelli is winning a third of the Asian vote, which in New Jersey, that's a pretty broad encompassing category. It's not just people of Chinese or Korean heritage. It also includes our very large Indian American population, very highly concentrated in the battleground of Middlesex County up in central Jersey. A third. That's huge. Here's the one that's making some lefty minds explode at the moment. They have Jack winning almost 60% of the black vote. Yes, you heard that correctly. There's nothing wrong with your ears. 60% of the black vote. Now, look, do I think that Jack is going to win 60% of the black vote on Tuesday? No, I do not believe that. But what I've noticed consistently throughout this cycle, if you look at the polling, the bad polls, the good polls, the in-between polls, Jack is pretty solidly and consistently winning a disproportionate percentage of the black vote relative to how Republicans typically perform. Many polls, including the Save Jersey poll that my website ran back at the end of September, had him over 20% with black voters. Interestingly, in that poll, we had him winning Hispanic voters. Now, again, I don't think that necessarily is going to happen either, but what I think it does, at least for these stronger surveys like Atlas Intel or the Save Jersey Valcourt poll, what it tells you is something's happening out there, right? It can't be a complete coincidence that all of these surveys that use different methodologies keep finding that. I think it tells you what we've been writing about and squawking about for months now, which is that the far-left white Karen lady, Mikey Sherrill from Montclair, who earned $7 million in Congress but doesn't recall doing it from stocks. I'd love to have that problem. She's got a problem with working class voters, black voters, Hispanic voters, the Trump coalition. And Democrat Party leaders in New Jersey know it. They are panicking. They are scrambling. They're probably running out of free goodies to give away to their voters to try to get them to the polls this weekend. It's for real. So what's key here is that Jack has the momentum. And if you are a New Jersey voter and you were wondering whether it was worth it to show up at the polls, well, now you have your confirmation. This race is not only an important one, but it is a winnable contest. It will turn New Jersey around or at least get us moving back in the right direction. And it will drive a dagger through the proverbial heart of the blue wave narrative the Democrats so desperately want to propagate heading into the midterm cycle. So you've got some choices, folks. You're hearing this on Saturday, either on the podcast or on 1210 WPHT, the Odyssey app, wherever you get this program. You have until the end of the day Sunday, 8 p.m. on Sunday, to go vote early in person. You can go to the state website, go to the New Jersey election website, and they can help you find your county polling locations. For early voting, you don't have to vote in your town. You just have to vote in your county, and they have a bunch of different designated locations near you. Or Election Day, when polls are open from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., where you can go and do it the old-fashioned way. If you have one of those vote-by-mail ballots sitting on your table and you haven't voted yet, fill it out correctly, seal the darn thing, and go drop it in one of the designated drop boxes that are across New Jersey. They usually have cameras on them. I get it. Some of you have an issue with mail, but it's better than not voting at all if that is your option. We can do this. The numbers work, because I don't think Democrats are getting what they need out of early voting, but we need a large Trump coalition turnout on Election Day, Tuesday, November 4th. You can do it. We can do it. We can make a difference, but you got to get off your rear end and do it. Now, I'm not going to beat you over the head with this for all 2 hours of today's program. I may invite some other people on to help me do it. And two of them are very good friends of Save Jersey in this program. We've had them on before. Assembly running mates, Assemblywoman. Hold on one second. Oh, here we go. You'll never believe what I just saw. A bird just flew up to my window, sat on the windowsill, nodded at me, and flew away. That is spooky. You're not hanging outside my window with some kind of animatronic animal, are you, Daniel?
You don't know that.
It was like being in a Disney movie. All right, that freaked me out. Sorry.
Could be me.
It could be you. Hopefully that's a good omen for Election Day. All right, back to what I was saying. We're going to be joined shortly here by not any Disney creatures, but Victoria Flynn, Assemblywoman from New Jersey's 13th Legislative District, and her running mate, Jerry Scharfenberger, who is also an Assemblyman in the 13th Legislative District. I'm pretty confident that they're going to get reelected. They're strong conservative voices in Trenton, and their district's pretty red. But they're in the heart of Monmouth County, which is one of the battlegrounds of election 2025. One of those places we're going to be looking at on election night, and you're going to see people like me drawing circles around it to figure out whether or not Jack Cittarelli got the margin he needed there to win. They're going to join us a little bit later on this show to give us an update from Monmouth, from the trail, some perspective on the closing hours of this race, and also give us a final pitch. You know, why is Jack Cittarelli and why is the Republican ticket the preferable option for taxpayers in the Garden State this year? Now, I think the answer is fairly obvious, and we talk about it a lot on this program, but why don't you hear from the people that actually have to go to Trenton and do battle, legislative battle with these swamp monsters day in and day out. Looking forward to speaking with them in just a little bit. And of course, we're going to get to some national news. We'll have Twit Talk, all the things you expect from the Matt Rooney Show here on 1210. But for now, let's take a quick break, play some ads, make some money, and we'll be back with all of that and more in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Back on the Matt Rooney Show. Remember, subscribe to the podcast, whether it's a New Jersey election season or not. You can go to Odyssey, but you can also go to Spotify, iTunes, wherever quality podcasts are found. Now, let's get down to business. We are joined by two of my favorite legislators in Trenton, which says something, because I don't like most of the legislators in Trenton, folks, because they go there, and even if they did have pure intentions at the beginning, very quickly get what I like to call Trentonitis, where they care more about the pin and the vanity license plate, hanging out with other chumps than serving the people. But these two have not gotten there. They have not contracted the virus, Trentonitis. They are Assemblywoman Vicky Flynn and Assemblyman, because there's Assemblymen and there's Assemblymans. There's Assemblyman Jerry Scharfenberger from the Fighting 13th Legislative District out in Monmouth County, and they join us now on the Matt Rooney Show. Vicky, Jerry, thanks for making time for us on the busiest of all weekends.
No problem, Matt. We're happy to talk to you.
Yep, great to be here, Matt.
Now, let us know, what are you up to this weekend? Because most people are sitting at home, they're watching Fox News, they're reading Save Jersey. Hopefully they're going to make some phone calls or knock some doors. What does the weekend before an election look like for legislative candidates?
You want to go first, Sherry?
You know what? I'll kick it off and just say, at this point in time, it's 110% about turnout. It's not even so much persuasion anymore. There's such a stark difference between the two candidates at the top of the ticket, you know, so we're really reaching out. I'm going to go walking after this interview to go to folks who haven't returned their vote by mail. I know Vicky is out, too. So we're just really pounding the pavement, trying to get people to get to the polls, take advantage of these last 2 days of early voting. Vic?
Yeah, I mean, I just, when you texted me, Matt, I came off the streets. We were putting out some signs strategically located throughout District 13 to make sure to remind people that there's an election and it's our big, we have big red signs with white lettering. So that helps them to remind them where, you know, it's time to vote. We have two big rallies here tomorrow. Jack already came through this morning. We were there at 8:30 this morning, wishing him well, cheering him on his voyage throughout the state. He's going to come through Middletown and Hazlitt tomorrow. And I'm sure as a result, we're going to see big numbers. But Jack can count on Tuesday for Election Day when the Republicans here in Monmouth County come out and march to the polls. And they want their voice to be heard loud and clear on Election Day.
And the enthusiasm is off the charts. I think that there's a Benny Johnson turning point rally in Lakewood, big mm-hmm. spot for Republicans, not too far from where you guys are. Mm-hmm. I'm participating in a turning point rally in Medford in Battleground LD8 on Monday at 1 o'clock. Right. You can go check that out on the website. Just frantic activity, but it's because people really do sense that there's the opportunity for change. Now, I know, Vicky, we don't live and die by polls, those of us that are actually in this thing, because we know that they're just one imperfect measure of where we're at. But a lot of people are excited about that new Atlas Intel poll, which shows pretty much a jump ball. And the leftists on X that like to try to troll me, they fail, but they try, are freaking out over Jack getting almost 60% of the black vote. Now, I'm not ready to predict that Jack is going to get 60% of the black vote, but you and Jerry are out there knocking doors. Mm-hmm. Do you get the sense that that old Trump coalition from last year is coming together and Jack's reaching some people that don't traditionally vote Republican?
Absolutely. The number that I see, it jumps off the page, Matt, are unaffiliated who have never voted or voted. I call them the Trump unaffiliated voters. They're voting. They're voting earlier more than our low propensity voters. So I do see enthusiasm in the polls, meaning the returns, not the polls. I mean, yeah, I'm right. Like you, Matt. I look at these polls. I say, yeah, that's great. I'm looking at the numbers. I look at them every single day. As soon as the early vote numbers come in the evening, I pull them. I look at 13 and I compare it to other parts of the state. And that number is jumping off the charts. Jack has really tapped into that unaffiliated voter, the non, you know, Republican or Democratic voter. They're coming out for him in droves. I believe it's the same group that came out for Trump in droves and made such a big difference last year for Donald Trump here in New Jersey.
Right. And you know what? Another thing to keep in mind, this is eerily like 2024, where you had such a distinct difference between the two candidates. And you thought, oh, my God, what if Kamala Harris gets in? What's going to happen? The same feeling is out there now. And you hear it when you go door to door and people are just, you know, they're so locked in, laser focused on this. And that sort of energy where they're so fed up. They almost can't get visibly excited anymore. They're just going to go to the polls and take it out on the, you know, on the voting on Election Day.
Yeah, and when I started calling her Kamala of the East Coast initially, some of my Democrat friends, yes, I do keep some Democrat friends. Everybody should have at least a few, mm-hmm. so you know what's going on, everybody. Yes. They said to me, oh, come on, Matt, is that really fair? But now I'm hearing that less after they've seen the cuts of her talking to Charlemagne the God, her interviews on CNN. I mean, it makes some of Kamala's word salads seem yes. somewhat coherent. I just don't think she's up to the job, Jerry. I mean, God bless her. She did serve her country, even though she didn't walk sure. at graduation. They eventually let her get behind a helicopter. But I just don't think she's got what it takes to take the helm in Trenton at a time when, let's face it, New Jersey's got some very serious challenges.
Right. And you know what, Matt? That's a good point. Her service should be respected and honored. But that's no measure of what she would be like as a leader and as a governor here. So we have to keep focused on her leadership abilities. And my favorite, if that, you can have a favorite of her word salads, is her interview with Marsha Kramer. When Marsha asked a simple question, which any eighth grade school president candidate could answer, what is one bill you would like to see passed on your first day? And she stumbled around like a kid unprepared for a presentation in the front of a class. It was painful to watch, you know, but it says a lot. And we have an opportunity to avoid that sort of leadership.
Yeah, we do. In Jack Cittarelli, a guy who is clearly in command of the issues, he understands mm-hmm. this stuff. I'd almost risk calling him a little bit of a nerd for New Jersey fiscal policy, right? Which in this context isn't a bad thing. And what I keep coming back to, Vicky, because we've been burnt so many times in New Jersey by some of our governors. He has pledged time and time again, I am not running for president. When I am done my 48 years, I want to retire to the Jersey Shore. I want to be a constituent of Jerry Scharfenberger and Vicky Flynn. Let me ask you, Vicky, just straight up, what is it about Jack Cittarelli that you find so attractive as a nominee for the GOP?
I think he has experience at all different levels of government that has allowed him to be prepared to be the governor of the state of New Jersey. The biggest challenge I've had, both in my capacity as a lawyer as well as a legislator, is observing what has happened to our governor's office over the last 8 years. It's been run by people. I mean, right now I wouldn't apply it to them now, but there's several instances of people who were not up for the job of running the state of New Jersey. It's an enormous job. It's I think a fun job for people who have had the opportunity to work in the governor's office. And I think this governor has been on the back foot due to the people he has chosen to run his office. And that has partially, if not wholly, put our state in the dire position it is right now, because it's just not run by people who get it. I think Jack knows exactly the type of people he needs to put in these places to put these are big issues that need to be solved, big financial issues. He's going to be walking in with a $60 billion budget and not enough revenues to pay for that. So we need serious, competent, experienced people in government ready to tackle those problems and look at this position from a public service point of view. Not that I'm here to, you know, stepping stone to the next job, which apparently that's what the Democratic Mikey Sherrill is involved in. Jack wants to fix New Jersey, and then when he's done, he's welcome to District 13 or whatever other shore community he wants to live in to live out the rest of his life, hopefully paying less taxes. Making sure our open space is preserved and we have public service and our cops and everyone's being paid like they should be. That's what he wants to do. And I actually sent him a text just about an hour ago, because the one thing I didn't say to him when I saw him this morning, I thought I should have just said, Jack, thank you. Thank you for putting your time, your energy, putting your life on hold to do this for New Jersey. And I think we all owe him a debt of gratitude for that. And I hope it comes with all the voters coming out, Republican, unaffiliated, and Democrats, and putting him in the governor's office on Tuesday.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that, Vicky, that Jack, I kind of put him in the Trump category. He certainly isn't Trump rich, but he's done very well for himself. He's one of these guys that could retire or semi-retire and live a pretty comfortable life right now. You know, visit his kids, probably get much better at golf. But he's chosen to devote his time to trying to fix New Jersey, which is the ultimate thankless job. Vicky brought up something else too, Jerry, which I think that sometimes people either aren't aware of or forget. One of the reasons why your taxes are out of control in this state is that our state budget has ballooned by about 70% from the time Chris Christie left office to now, as we blissfully reach the end of Phil Murphy's own tenure in Trenton. It's out of control. It's not just your electric bills that are through the roof. I saw Jack speaking to Sean Hannity the other day on the Fox News town hall, and he said that he's going to begin to cut the bloat in Trenton. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that's something that put a smile on your face.
Yeah. You know, Jack, like I tell voters, Jack is a numbers guy. He's a CPA. And also, he came up through the ranks the proper way. He served in municipal government, county, then in the legislature. So he knows how things work. He knows what policies will work and won't because he's got that sort of, you know, from the ground up experience, you know. So this is exactly what we need now. And he knows that that budget is beyond bloated. If you looked up the word bloated in the dictionary, you'd have, you know, the New Jersey budget there, a picture of the New Jersey budget. And what we have to do here, and, you know, Matt, I do that column that you very graciously publish many times. And I pointed out some of the bloat that I see. And one example is the $440,000 DoorDash charges by the Rutgers football team. Now, this was buried in a line item in their budget. Now, if you could prorate that out, imagine how much waste is in this budget. If that's one item for almost $500,000. So these are the kind of things you can go through without compromising services, without compromising personnel or anything like that, and get rid of without feeling anything. Certainly school budgeting, the disparity between some districts and others, you don't have to add more money to that. Just reapportion it properly where it's spent wisely and cut out the bloat. Call it DOGE, call it whatever you want. But there is a way out of this without impacting services or programs in any manner.
See, if Mikey Sharp was here right now, folks, she wouldn't have understood a damn word that Jerry Scharfenberger just said, right? Like that's the problem. To touch it with a pin. Let's address a couple things here that I think need to be discussed because Mikey Sherrill and her allies have put a lot of money behind a lot of lies throughout the course of this campaign. Unfortunately, even though Jack and the good guys are doing what they can to rebut them, you know what has been famous? I think it was Churchill that said a lie can get halfway around the world before the truth gets a chance to put its pants on. And sadly, that's often the case. Vicky, there is going to be no 10% sales tax increase under Governor Cittarelli.
No, I don't think anyone would vote for that. And so, no, that's just a big lie. And again, that's what disqualifies her from taking on this job. You know, you cannot put that type of peddle that information out there and say, and you should elect me when there's no one in God's earth that would ever do that in the state of New Jersey.
No, Jack is a
the Dems, by the way.
Yeah, he's a CPA. He's a nerd, right? Yeah. We've established this. By the way, when he eventually hears this and hears that I called him a nerd a couple times, I'm probably not getting invited to the drum thwack at Christmas party. But he was talking about different tax systems from different states, and almost every other state is better than ours. And he was referring to one state that has far fewer taxes than us and just has a sales tax. But he was not endorsing an increase for New Jersey. That's patently untrue. Something else, Jerry, that Mikey Sherrill's put a lot of volume behind is this idea that she can somehow freeze our electric bills.
It's impossible. You can't do it. It's just, you know, it just can't legally be done. And, you know, you don't want to find out the hard way that what I said is true, that it can't be done. But I'm telling everybody, every one of you listeners, it legally cannot be done. She cannot freeze utility rates. These are publicly owned companies, privately owned companies, I should say.
The thing, Jerry and Matt, is this: that statement alone demonstrated her lack of knowledge of how New Jersey government works. Mm-hmm. She doesn't understand what the BPU does. Right. She doesn't understand its historic role. She has so much learning that needs to be done to be able to be the governor of New Jersey. And right now, we don't have another 4 years to have someone learn on the job on how this works. We need people who know what they're doing, and Jack is that person.
Exactly. And you know what, Vic and Matt, just let me point this out, too. Because of their policies, of Phil Murphy's policies, where they closed down 6 natural gas plants, they closed down Oyster Creek nuclear plant, because they diminished supply, and this is economics 101, diminished supply means higher prices. And that's what we are seeing every time somebody opens up their utility bill. So we're seeing the end result of their own policies that Mikey Sherrill has promised to continue.
Yeah, and she will. And I hate to sound hyperbolic, folks, but if we get 4 years of Mikey Sherrill, I don't know where New Jersey's going to be at the end of it. Governor Murphy, when he ran the first time, incredibly promised to turn New Jersey into the California of the East Coast. He's come close. He's come awfully close. We don't want to give Mikey an opportunity to finish the job. That's why you got to get out on Tuesday, November 4th, if you haven't voted already, and support Jack Cittarelli and Vicky Flynn and Jerry Scharfenberger and the entire slate, wherever you are across the great Garden State. Jerry, can you remind us how we can vote in New Jersey if we haven't done so already? Because there's a couple different options.
Sure. Well, what we're doing now is we're still chasing folks who got vote by mail ballots. We have a list of everyone who hasn't returned them. So that's one thing people can do if they still have that ballot sitting on the kitchen table to get that in. We have today and tomorrow still for early voting. There's certainly an early voting facility near you. And then naturally Tuesday. So we have a lot of options out there. Early voting is open till 8 o'clock tonight and open till 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And then there's normal voting on Tuesday. So people have really good options to come out and vote at some point. And the weather's going to be beautiful on Tuesday in the next few days. So the stars are aligning for a big turnout for us.
And it bears repeating, Vicky, because you're a lawyer like I am, right? Apologies in advance, everyone.
Yeah.
So you're pretty tuned into the election protection efforts that the RNC yes. and the NJGOP and some other groups are engaged in. I think that it's understandably important for our folks to know that their votes are going to be fought for this time around, not just by the election monitor mm-hmm. from the DOJ that's getting sent to Passaic, but in all 21 counties.
Yeah, we have lawyers on the ground. I've talked to Jason Senna two nights ago. The state, the national RNC is also very engaged in making sure that our votes are going to be protected. So if anyone out there feels like they've been denied access to the polls, get in touch with one of us. Go on Twitter, find me, Matt, or Jerry, and we will get you a lawyer to get you to court, and your vote mm-hmm. Will be entered. That's what we have to do. And there's boots on the ground to do it to protect your vote. Until we become in the majority party and Jack's there and we can pass all the bills Jerry and I have already in the hopper for election integrity, this is what we have to do to protect New Jersey's voices at the polls.
That's right. And we're going to get a lot closer on Tuesday. I've got a good feeling. We're going to send some reinforcements to help Vicky and Jerry in their good work in Trenton. Jerry Scharfenberger, Victoria Flynn, LD13 assembly members on the ballot this year. If you live in LD13, which a little geography lesson, it's out there kind of at the tip, the northern tip of Monmouth County. It's got that little cute part that sticks out into the water, right? Keensburg, Keyport, Aberdeen, West Long Branch.
Shore. That's our bay shore. You know, they're strong and mighty over there.
One of the most beautiful parts of New Jersey. I think it's a close tie between there and parts of the Water Gap. It's just gorgeous. It's the part you don't see on the intro to The Sopranos. So yeah. Most people aren't really aware of it. We wish you guys the best of luck on Tuesday, obviously. We thank you for your time today, and we want you to stay safe out there in these crazy times on the trail as you fight for Jack and the whole ticket down the home stretch.
Great.
Thank you so much, Matt.
All right, guys, we got more coming up here in just a moment on the Matt Rooney Show. Refill that coffee mug and get your keisters back here in a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Was driving through a rural part of South Jersey earlier today, and I saw Pumpkin Crunch as the pie of the week at one of the local farm stands. That sounds absolutely delish, Daniel. Pumpkin Crunch. I forget, are you a pumpkin guy or are you anti-pumpkin?
I don't really like pumpkin. I'm kind of anti. I like carving pumpkins, but I don't really like pumpkin flavoring. I don't like pumpkin pie. I don't like anything.
So you're not even pumpkin curious?
No. Are we talking like maybe pumpkin flexible?
Pumpkin. Willing to experiment with pumpkin.
Yeah, maybe.
After a couple drinks, if your girlfriend wants to.
All I know is that there's a hole cut out in the back. Don't question it.
Oh, boy. Wow. We just hop, skipped, and jumped over my innuendo.
Should have saw
that coming.
Yeah.
This is why you don't play with fire, kids.
So should the pumpkin.
So oh, you're a terrible person. But so am I here on the Matt Rooney Show. Trucking along here. As I said, only 72 hours left before we figure out who won this darn election in the state of New Jersey. Of course, big races also going on down in the Old Dominion, Virginia, where even though the race between Winsome Sears and Abigail Spanberger has not been viewed as being as competitive, Virginia always ends up being more competitive than the polls suggest. And that horrendous, awful, violent Democrat AG candidate is now falling behind in almost all the polls, if not all the polls. So things are getting interesting down there. Up in New York, an avoidable disaster is upon us as Curtis Sliwa and Andrew Cuomo split the opposition to Zohran Mamdani, who seems on course to win a fairly comfortable victory in NYC. Producer Dan's a big Batman fan, but you don't really want to live in a Batman movie, folks. You want to watch it. But I have a feeling that New York is going to resemble its not-so-good old self, 1970s, 1980s, crime and drug plague self here in just several months once Zohran gets in, assuming there's not a miracle. Something that caught my eye in one of the most recent surveys coming out of New York ahead of this big mayoral election, a pollster asked, hey, listen, if you're voting for Zohran or Cuomo or Sliwa, what's your religious affiliation? Get this. Mamdani is losing every single religious group in New York except for Muslims. He's getting a majority of the Muslim vote, okay? But Cuomo is getting 60% of the Jewish vote. 84% of Jewish voters have excluded supporting Zohran Mamdani. Protestants, 44% are going to Cuomo. Between Sliwa and Cuomo, that accounts for two-thirds of Catholics in the five boroughs. The only other category that Mamdani is doing very well with, 71% of those who say they have no religion in the Big Apple are siding with the anti-Semitic socialist. Hate to say I told you so, folks. And look, you know, cards on the table. I'm a Roman Catholic, have been my entire life. I have a faith, even though I don't talk about it all the time. I tend to be a little bit more private about it. It's just a Catholic, traditional Catholic thing. But I always do warn my fellow citizens against supporting someone that just doesn't really believe in anything. It might not matter so much what you believe, but when you have elected leaders that don't believe there's some kind of higher power in the universe that is supposed to regulate our behavior, you end up with guys that think that they can create a utopia on Earth. And that's what socialists would have you believe, right? That's the great lie, that they can take everybody's money from them and somehow do a better job at obtaining peace and prosperity than the industrious American people can. So this survey result doesn't make me happy, that's for damn sure, because I like New York. I'm a New Jerseyan. I live next to it. They're our neighbors. It being a disaster is no better than, you know, if all of a sudden one of your neighbors on your block all of a sudden allowed their home to turn into a wasteland, right? You wouldn't want that. Wouldn't be good for your property values. Wouldn't be good for your peace of mind. Wouldn't be good for your day-to-day. But I can't say that any of this shocks me. And that's a Quinnipiac poll, by the way, folks. So definitely a left-leaning survey. So God help New York. The only good news is that as a New Jerseyan, if Jack Cittarelli is successful here, and if Mamdani wins up there, I'm pretty darn sure that my house value is going to spike pretty soon as all of these New Yorkers flood out of the city like they did during COVID into New Jersey. I can only hope that they learned from their mistakes. We've seen this happen all across the country, right? Like, you know, back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, a lot of Philadelphians left Philly and they moved to South Jersey and they continued to vote for the Democrats that destroyed Philly. Ask somebody from Colorado what Californians did to their state. Currently, California is also actively screwing up Utah, which is getting a little bit more purple. It's like they're like locusts. It's well, I could go on for a full 2 hours just about that, folks, but we don't have that time. It's election week almost. So we not only have some civic responsibilities, we also want to learn something. And you can learn more from producer Dan, believe it or not, than you could learn in 4 years of a full-on expensive college education. I believe, Daniel, you have a pre-election fact of the week.
I do.
It's not really election-themed, but it's like fall-themed.
It doesn't have to be. Elections happen during the fall.
There we go.
We're expanding our minds in all directions.
Men and women experience high levels of testosterone during the fall.
Men and women.
Yes, this makes sense because more babies are conceived during the fall and winter. The cause is unknown, but it could be due to lack of sunlight or even go back to ancient mating rituals.
Huh. Well, that makes sense. So it gets cold.
Yep.
We're indoors more.
Cuffing season.
It's it's baby making season.
Yes, it is.
I really can't stay, but baby, it's cold outside. Well, this is fascinating.
You like that?
I do like that. And you know what? Back to the whole religion thing for a second. I'm not telling anybody how to pray. It's not my style. Is that just a coincidence? I mean, do you really not think there's some kind of higher design in the universe that magically we have a substance, a chemical in our bodies that spikes at exactly the right time to get busy and reproduce and grow the human race? It cannot be a coinky dink, as Daniel would say. I don't think I've ever heard you say coinky dink.
Coinky dink?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. That was a heck of a fact of the week.
Yeah.
I feel like really, I learned a lot there.
Really got to start November with a bang, you know what I mean?
Just yeah, like we really do.
Just like the people who are banging during the fall.
Let's get it on. We're all sensitive people.
I can play Careless Whispers if you want.
Could you?
Sure.
Why not? For all those leaf peepers out there.
The what?
Leaf peepers. People like to look at leaves. What do you think I was talking about?
That's not what I thought you were going to say, but... There you go. For all you leaf peepers.
Return that vote by mail ballot.
Yeah.
Then head on home and
dog.
Ride those testosterone levels.
Hey, we just voted. Let's make a baby.
I want to secure your ballot, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's get it on. Actually, that's not Careless Whisper.
No, that's Let's Get It On.
Yeah.
That's not a completely different song.
Yeah, George Michael.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the Careless Whisper is, I'm never going to dance again.
Yeah, there you go.
Your feet have got no rhythm. Like no, shut up as like... I sing the entire song.
Okay.
I'm now going to sing the entire... No, I'm not going to do that to
Okay,
you.
Cool.
I don't like you, but I don't hate you that much.
I'll pull the lyrics out. Gone too soon, okay. King. You know what I mean?
Gone too...
George Michael, gone too soon.
Pour one out for my homie.
Or
George
just
Michael.
Have babies in the name of George Michael. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a bad name.
I mean, never trust a guy with two first names.
Yeah, probably true. I mean, most assassins have three names. Not necessarily two first names, but, you know, John Wilkes Booth.
Well, that's his first, middle, and last name.
Right. That's we're not disagreeing.
Cool. Awesome. Saying the same exact thing.
Just Lee Harvey Oswald, James Earl Ray. They all have three names.
Cool. Awesome. Glad we figured that out.
Your personal favorite, John Wayne Gacy, crazy Halloween clown.
He wasn't a Halloween clown.
He wasn't specifically a Halloween clown, but I think
he's just a clown.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah, that's what he did. He was for a clown for parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
that's my favorite serial killer, by the way.
Who's your favorite serial killer?
I gotta go with the Unabomber.
Oh my god.
I think the Unabomber had a
Do I wanna know why?
He had a unique shtick. but like also kind of, I don't know. I think it was just, it was unique. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, we could definitely say that it was unique, sending people
instead of
bombs
like going
through
up,
the mail.
All, up close and personal and stabbing or shooting the person. They're just like, hey, here's a bomb in the mail for you.
Something a little different.
Right.
Something well, Kaczynski was, I don't know if classy is the right way to put
something
it.
Something classy.
He was definitely higher. He was more intelligent than your average serial killer, right?
Yes.
I mean, some of them are high on the intelligence scale.
I mean,
but
most of them were high on the intelligence list.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. The most I know about serial killers is I watched that show Mindhunter when it was still on, which I'm sorry they canceled that. That was fascinating. Did you watch Mindhunter?
No.
About the beginning. It's I mean, I think it's largely a work of fiction, but it's based on the founding of the FBI's, I don't know what the right word for it would be, but their research into serial killers. Because I guess at the time that they got involved in it, it was controversial whether there was such a thing as a serial killer.
Yeah.
Since they have some distinct traits.
What's like the average IQ of a person?
The average IQ of a person?
Yeah.
It's not that high.
Okay. So
I think it's something like 100.
So the Unabomber had a 167.
Yeah, so genius.
Yes. And then you go down to Jeffrey Dahmer, who had a 145. Ted Bundy had a 136.
All right, so Bundy was close to I think generally, let me try that again, talking is hard. 140 and above is considered genius. So genius, near genius.
Yeah, and then the average IQs were Tommy Lynn Sells, Richard Chase, 195. And then you have Eileen Wuornos, who was at 81. So, like, you know?
Impressive.
The average IQ of a serial killer is 94.7.
Well, 94 is not high.
No.
That's what I'm saying. They're not all geniuses.
No, but for, like, the more well-known ones are.
I love that we're turning this into a true crime podcast. We could do it. Yeah. It'd be fun.
We need, like, creative music.
Yeah, that's right. Bella would get in on that.
Oh, I'm sure she would.
Bella would like that. All right, we're going to come up with a side project. There's always next Halloween here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. 1 hour in the can, but don't worry. Our pre-election episode has more juice for the squeeze. We will be joined shortly by my good buddy Alex Wilkes. She is a renowned political operative and PR professional up there in North Jersey. You can frequently find her over on Fox News and Fox Business. She is knee deep in election 2025 in New Jersey. We're going to get her expert perspective at the close here as to where things stand across the great Garden State. And of course, more coming up in the second hour, such as Twit Talk, the segment that we just, we can't let die. It goes on and on and on because it's in Daniel's contract here at the Matt Rooney Show. Quick timeout, but don't worry. We're going to be back here in just a few, so don't move a muscle.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Greetings and welcome back to the Matt Rooney Show, ladies and gentlemen, except no substitutes or pale imitations. I am the aforementioned Matt Rooney coming to you. Not quite on election eve, but we're almost there. Only a few more sleeps left before Jack Cittarelli is hopefully the next governor of the great state of New Jersey, and we have finally saved Jersey, which means I can retire my website, savejersey.com, and start that true crime podcast that producer Dan and I were talking about in the last hour. Can you get a business plan together, Daniel, and talk to Bella about it?
I've already been whipping up ideas. You know, I've been making some sound and some intros. So, like, that's when are we starting, really?
Like, as soon as the election's over.
All right, cool.
Especially if Jack loses, because then I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done.
All right, cool.
I quit.
I'd have more true crime if he loses.
It's probably. Well, there is no doubt we are going to have more crime in New Jersey if Jack loses, especially if Mikey Sherrill's record as a kind of sort of prosecutor is any indication. She'll be a criminal's best buddy. Again, I said it in the first hour. We love Batman movies around here, but you want to watch them. You don't want to live in one. You have a real choice to make on Tuesday, folks. If you haven't voted already in the Garden State, make it well, make it wisely. Remember, you can follow the Matt Rooney Show not only 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard on Saturday nights on 1210, but also check us out over at the Odyssey app. And of course, subscribe to our podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Amazon UK, which I'm surprised we're allowed on Amazon UK, given some of the stuff that comes out of our mouth. If we sat on a street corner in London, we would probably get arrested with how things are going over there in that Orwellian hellscape. The important thing is that you listen and you share, because we're talking to important people about critical things. Next up, two of my faves in New Jersey politics. When we were talking to our friends Jerry and Vicky in the first hour, I said, I don't like most members of the legislature. So when I have somebody on, you know that we found somebody who's the real deal. I would say something similar about the operative class. Most of them suck, especially in and around the Garden State. But these two are notable exceptions, and I'm proud to count them as friends. They are Alexandra Wilkes. She is a PR pro, a veteran political operative out of North Jersey, a frequent guest on Fox News and Fox Business, and continues to have the greatest distinction of all of not only being my friend, but I introduced her to her husband. So for you, my fellow nerds out there, she has what's called a Wookiee life debt to me for the rest of her natural life. Alex, welcome back to the Matt Rooney Show.
Thanks so much for having us, Matt.
And we also have a man who's been quite busy as of late, because not only is he one of the premier Republican operatives working in the Garden State, he is also the brains and the spokesperson behind the Pro Chitterelli Super PAC Change. And Jay, you can thank him for all those ads that have been blasting you on YouTube for the past several months. He is Carlos Cruz of Jamestown, and he joins us now.
Thanks, Matt. That's so kind.
It's good to talk to you guys together. I bug you all the time throughout the week for your wit and your wisdom about this election and everything else under the sun here in New Jersey. But I thought it'd be cool to have a conversation as we get closer to Election Day to kind of see where things are at. I know that we don't live and die by polls, but that Atlas Intel poll had to intrigue both of you, including the fact, Carlos, that we have a poll that shows Jack Chitterelli leading with black voters. I'm not sure that's how things are going to end up, but something interesting is happening out there in the electorate.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, if there's one thing that's been consistent this cycle, it's that you've seen Democrats run to the press to complain about how much the black community doesn't like Mikey. And they're not alone. They're members of the community. The moment she won the primary, the head of the African-American Chamber of Commerce, a gentleman by the name of John Harmon, went on TV and on video said she's playing a four corners offense. She's playing keep away with the ball. She has some data that shows that she's winning, and she's happy to not work for it. That was made in June. Yesterday, Brent Johnson from the Star Ledger reported that a different leader in the black community said the same thing. She hasn't put the work in. So do I think Jack's going to win the black vote? I'd be happily surprised, but I think some people are going to be surprised by the margins.
What a great trait for a future governor, Alex, somebody who thinks they're a little bit ahead, so stops working. Not exactly inspiring in a leader, is it?
No, actually, that sounds like most of Trenton. If everyone wants more of the same, just vote for the person who thinks that they have to work for 80% of the job.
Yeah.
More of the same, but worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I had to sneak that in there.
No, that's right.
There is a sense of entitlement with Mikey, and there has been since the primary that it's just been so grating. This is a woman that walked into this primary saying, I'm a woman, I was a helicopter pilot, like, basically give me the job. And I was really happy to see that there was a lively Democratic primary that just said, no, like, you have to work for this. We're going to have a spirited debate. And yeah, look, at the end of the day, did four or five guys get into a room at the League of Municipalities, last year and decide basically who the governor was going to be despite the line system going away? essentially. But I also don't think that they could have been pleased with how strongly like someone like Mayor Barack performed in the primary, as opposed to her numbers as well. So she's had a lot of entitlement. Like Carlos said, if you talk to Democrats across the state, Democratic operatives, she's just, they say this openly, she's a person that does not look comfortable around Black people. Whereas Jack has knocked on the door of every church, of every organization. Like, he has put himself out there into the communities in ways that she is not willing to do, and ways that Republicans haven't been willing to do in a long time. So this has been a long campaign over the last 4 years that Jack's been doing this, and they recognize the relationship building and they appreciate it.
And it's leading to some real urban problems for Mikey Sherrill. Of course, they're never going to go on record, especially with someone like me. But believe me, folks, they do talk to us. I've spoken to some urban Democrat leaders who are about done with Mikey Sherrill. They're not working that hard for her. They think that she's a terrible candidate. And on Saturday, Steve Fulop, who appeared on this program back during the primary, he's the outgoing mayor of Jersey City. He's one of these figures that she needs cranking for her right now. He retweeted the Atlas Intel poll that we just mentioned and said NJ may actually have an upset. Is that just sour grapes, Carlos? Or again, is he seeing something that perhaps Democrats are not assigning enough seriousness to?
No, as a leader in one of New Jersey's urban cores, I think he's been seeing it. And he's been consistent since the primary. If you go back to, I listened to that show. If you go back to that show, he's been really, really consistent about the fact that, like, this is a change election in the state of New Jersey. And Mikey Sherrill was probably the worst candidate in terms of representing the old, owned by the party bosses, does what they're told mentality. And I think he has been rooting from the sidelines for her. We saw after the NJ Globe debate, I think he was one of the people that spoke to the panel and said, look, I'm a quiet Sherrill supporter, but I'm a Sherrill supporter, but I'm disappointed by her campaign on everything from offering substance to voters to having serious plans to being out in the community, to coordinating down ballot Democrats from Fulop in Jersey City to folks down in Camden have been sorely disappointed in Mikey's campaign. So he's not being a sore loser. He's also on his way out. He got a sweet job in New York City. It requires him to live in New York City. So I really think for him, it's what shall be, and he won't lose any sleep over it. But I think he's been the one guy willing to tell truth to power to the Democrats in terms of, we got to change the way we do things if we want to be successful. And his verdict at the end of the race is that you didn't do it.
Oh, yeah. And look, I mean, there's a guy, he wouldn't have gotten my vote in the general election, but I respected the hell out of the fact that he was willing to come on my program. And again, regardless of what you had to say about some of his answers, we went back and forth. It's so rare for a Democrat in 2025 to be willing to have a conversation. We've seen some very infamous examples. Here's looking at you, Katie Porter, of Democrats that are not willing to have a conversation with someone that challenges their narrative. Speaking of narratives, though, Alex, and I want to give you an opportunity to comment on this too, Carlos. We need to make sure that anyone that's supporting Jack, wants Jack to win, doesn't get dissuaded by the dooming and the propaganda that's designed to suppress the vote that we can count on at this stage of the game whenever there's a tight election. I've noticed, for instance, that there are a lot of Democrat accounts on X that are trying to convince people that Republicans somehow needed to win the early vote. And if they're not ahead of the early vote, partisan registration is what we're talking about here. We don't know how anybody actually voted at this point. But if they're not ahead heading into Election Day, Alex, that somehow Jack's in a hole from which he cannot extract himself. True or false?
Look, I think that it's absolutely false. And this is, I think, where people get frustrated by the type of gamesmanship that seems to be at play when it comes to vote by mail and early voting, which both of which I strongly encourage. But this is like one of the more frustrating aspects of it is like it just does feel like it's like this like game of like Tetris that like we're that like, you know, a bunch of nerds on X are trying to like, you know, make sense out of while like real voters are just trying to you know, be out there or live their lives and make up their minds about whether they're going to vote and for whom they're going to vote. And I would say that what with respect to the data points that they're using, and I think that if you even corner them with some truth serum, they would admit this. It's actually really, it's really frustrating as a political practitioner, and I'm sure Carlos could speak to this better, that we don't have better numbers to compare these numbers to, meaning that, okay, in 2021, early vote was such a novelty that we had polling places that had one person show up every single day, maybe for like the entirety of the early voting period. It was just not used. You had then in 2023, again, it's just still too new, like just not a great not a great example. Then you get 2024 where, oh my gosh, we have this presidential election. It's monster turnout. President Trump overperforms in the Garden State, and we see a lot of Republicans who are willing to come out and vote early because the president told them it was safe to do so. So like my point is that in 2025, where do we compare these numbers back to? Do we compare them back to a time where early voting wasn't really that popular? Do we compare it back to a presidential election? That just seems weird. And also, you know, how much, and I know you've talked about this, Rooney, how much have Democrats taken the people who would have voted on election day and converted them into vote-by-mail voters and early voters, which is very, it's extremely valuable, right? Because, you know, to have that banked, to have that counted on, to not have to chase that vote,
right.
That's a really valuable thing.
Don't have to worry about weather or illness or any of the other things that come up.
Exactly. And so I'm not taking that away from them. They've definitely mastered the game. But Republicans have been keeping pace with, I would say, our share of voter registration in the electorate. And I don't see like some monster firewall building for the Democrats, especially when you take into account that Mikey is receiving in all polls. It doesn't matter that the polls that have her up 10 and the polls that have it a 1-point race. She's receiving fewer Democratic votes than Jack Cittirelli is receiving Republican votes.
Yeah, and it looks like...
And we don't know how the unaffiliateds will break. We don't... And again, that's another positive for Jack. You don't want to count on it, though. So that's why Republicans... I know there are people have been a little bit annoyed that Republicans have been kind of noisily pushing the early voting, but this is why we've been doing it, because it's just easier for us to count on something that's already there.
But what I'm hearing, and again, you know, we never know until we start opening the ballots, right? But it seems as if, Carlos, a lot more low propensity Republicans are voting relative to how many of these Democrats voting are low propensity. So in other words, just to be clear what we're talking about here, folks, it seems like Democrats are turning out early, the people that usually vote almost every year or every year anyway. What I'm hearing from reliable sources that know better than to BS me are that, no, some of these folks, or at least a higher percentage of these folks that are showing up and voting Republican this year, they're the Trump Republicans, the ones that maybe ordinarily don't vote except when there's a presidential election.
Yeah, I was looking for a way to jump into this. The Democrats are really just front-loading the people who vote for them on election day. You know, Republicans have been going shot for shot with the limited resources that we have along the way, both in early voting and in vote by mail. In Gloucester County, a small county to the south of us here in South Jersey, county control is up. It's kind of George Norcross. It's the heart of the George Norcross South Jersey Democratic Empire. The Democrats are probably outspending the Republicans 16-1 as of the last report. It probably gets a 20-1 by election day.
I want to make sure I heard that correctly, Carlos. 16 or 20-1 in a single county.
Right.
Wow.
The combined forces of like the good guys versus the bad guys. The bad guys just print money. It's incredible to watch. The return rates among the vote by mail ballots are competitive. I think the Democrats had returned 71% as of yesterday. The Republicans had turned in 69% of their ballots. And when you're talking about the early vote, I just got a report a couple of minutes ago, but the Democrats are beating the Republicans by 400 votes. This is a county where the Democrats have nearly a 20,000 voter registration advantage. It's a county where the bad guy you read about in the newspaper is real and is in charge of the local Democratic Party and has all of the labor unions out there knocking on doors, turning out voters. So the Democrats have used their allies in the media and spun a masterful tale about how Republicans were going to win in the early vote. And that has entered the echo chamber, and it drives all of us nuts. But you should know the fact that we're the underdog, for sure. We're going punch for punch. We're still in this thing. They haven't put it away. And so Matt's point, a lot of their people are people who vote in every election. They have some degree, about 20%
people have voted in 2024.
And even there, I think our percent is 17. So we're close. We don't have the resources to put into it. And it's happening. And it's happening because we've got a great guy at the top of the ticket, Jack Girardi, who campaigns real hard, goes where Republicans expect him to not be successful, makes friends out of everybody. And you've seen that down ticket from the contested races in Bergen County to the contested races in Salem County.
Yeah, that's right. And it's clearly having a difference, which is why some of these more reliable pollsters, Carlos, are so close. Let's do this before we spring you guys, because I know that on the weekend before the election, you might have one or two things you need to respectively attend to. We're going to be watching this race as close as hawks over the next 72 hours, our listeners as well. They need to know what they should be watching and looking for, especially once the returns start coming in election night. Alex, let's start with you, and you're an adopted North Jerseyan, so you're a little biased, but which tea leaves should we be reading once the returns start coming in?
Well, of course, we're going to look to see that we're getting high percentages out of traditionally Republican counties like Ocean, Monmouth, Sussex, Warren. Those are places where we need to just blow it out in order to push Jack over the finish line. Like, we need every single vote in Cape May County to come our way to offset some of the bad votes up here. I would look to in Bergen County, Jack keeping things even, because the one thing we've been saying all along is that you can't get blown out in Bergen County. And I'm, you know, now living here, I might be a little bit biased from my perspective, but it's a real thing. Like, there's just too many people here. You can't afford to get blown out. But I think that Jack has done a really good job with reaching out to the many, many different constituencies, like Hispanics and Filipinos and Koreans and Orthodox Jewish voters. I mean, just everyone across the board that he's been able to talk to. So I would say keeping it even in Bergen is something we're going to look for. You know, to see, like Carlos said, in these urban centers, like how much really turns out. We know like a city like Patterson is like not typically a high vote city. So does that stay low? Okay, that's some good news for us. If we look to Hudson County, first of all, I just need to say this because it's been really annoying me. All of these like X accounts that are like, oh my gosh, Mayor Nicholas Stacco, he He endorsed Cittarelli as a Democrat, and now Brian Stack is going to work even harder for Mikey Sherrill. I'm like, Brian Stack was already getting like Saddam Hussein like numbers, like even when he was unopposed. Like, why would he all of a sudden decide like, yeah, I'm just going to take my foot off the gas in the general election? Like, I mean, like, how many more votes was he going to get out of that? I think that they say that because they know that the Sacco endorsement and the many other high-profile Democratic endorsements in Hudson County in particular, they do hurt. They absolutely do hurt.
It's copium. That's what it is. It's copium.
Yes. Yes. So I think
Brian Stack has two settings, like the Death Star, on and off.
Off.
That's right. Exactly. And you're not wrong about Bergen County, Alex. I mean, just for a little bit of perspective, folks, the population of Bergen County, New Jersey, just one county right up there outside of New York, there's more people there than in the entire state of South Dakota. So it's critical. And there was one poll, I forget which one. It might have been.
It was Emerson.
It was Emerson.
Point.
Yeah. Which if Jack, he lost by about 5 last time, I believe, Carlos. Correct me if I'm wrong. So if Jack only loses Bergen by a point, forget about winning it. It looks like he maybe is well on his way to becoming the next governor of New Jersey. Alex hit on a lot of important spots in North Jersey, Carlos. Down here in my neck of the woods, South Jersey, I know shore turnout is critical.
Shore turnout is critical. South Jersey is Trump country. And they kind of led the way there in terms of in the darkest days of the down ballot Republican Party's recent existence. 2018, 2019, you saw a lawyer by the name of Michael Testa flip a deep blue seat in the state Senate, and you saw it ripple out from there. You saw us win seats in Gloucester. You saw us take back the Atlantic County government, which houses Atlantic City.
Jeff Van Drew changed parties.
Jeff Van Drew went from being a Democrat, you know, considering voting for impeachment, to one of the president's staunchest defenders and somebody who wrote some of the executive orders that kicked off term 47. So I'll be looking at margins in the deep South, in Trump country. Are we competitive in Cumberland County, which Trump won by 3 last year, or are we blowing it away like we did in 2019 and 2021? Is Jack going to win Gloucester by 10? And on the other side of the aisle, what's turnout look like in Atlantic City? For the first time in my recent memory, the Atlantic County Democrats aren't really contesting what used to be a split assembly district in the second. Yeah. That district, like clockwork, elected one Republican, one Democrat. And it would change them, and it had no loyalty to a name, but they would just always split their ticket.
Yeah.
They haven't since Jack ran in 2021. And this year, they've thrown in the towel. Like they're not on television. They're not spending money. And for our Twitter friends, there's some that tweet maps. New Jersey is now part of election Twitter, and some folks draw up maps and they turn out and they do this turnout versus 2024. And if you're exceeding the pace of 2024 returns, you're in green. And if you're not, you're in red. And a county for Democrats that has been deep red is super important. Camden County.
Yeah.
No, Camden County is that place that is, you know, dominated by minority voters, the people that Mikey's struggling with. If she's not hitting her marks in Camden County, we're going to be in for a long night, but that's good for us.
It's a big problem for her because, remember, this isn't the Electoral College, right? So a Republican vote or a Democrat vote in any of these counties counts as much as one anywhere else. So, you know, you mentioned a couple counties there. Shout out to my good friends, Senator Vince Palestina and Chairman Don Purdy in Atlantic County, that have basically destroyed the Democrat Party in Atlantic County. And of course, I'm a little biased, but Chairman Mike Donahue down in Cape May County, who's helping rock South Jersey from one end or the other. It's hard to keep track of where he is. He's actually going to be in Medford too, LD8, at a Turning Point rally with me coming up on Monday at 1 o'clock. That's in Medford. You can go over to Turning Point's website and check that out. Well, we got to get these two talented operatives back to work, folks, so we don't blow this thing. Me wrapping them up probably isn't the best thing for the cause, at least not too long. Carlos Cruz, Alex Wilkes, two of the good ones, which I define as they actually know what they're talking about. Guys, appreciate you joining us today. Most of all, of course, appreciate everything you're doing for the cause. Definitely have to get you back for a post-mortem show, which I'm increasingly optimistic is going to be a happy affair instead of a somber one.
We're going to call it an after-action review. That's right. Better content.
After-action review, yes.
That's right. See, I told you, they're professionals. Guys, good luck out there over the next couple days.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for all that you do.
You're listening to the Matt Rooney Show. We're running down our second hour, but don't worry, we've got more time left. Twit Talk still ahead. Stick it here. Don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Phil Murphy, the outgoing governor of New Jersey, there's a little bit of good news, right? He has declared an emergency, folks, a state of emergency over SNAP funding. This is according to Joey Fox of the New Jersey Globe. Governor Phil Murphy announced a state of emergency on Friday in response to the federal government's attempt at suspending funds for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps, amid the ongoing government shutdown. With more than 800,000 New Jerseyans relying on SNAP to put food on the table, the Trump administration's decision to suspend benefits has created a clear and present threat to the health and safety of our residents, Murphy said in a statement. We will not stand by while families face hunger. That is why our state will mobilize every available resource to strengthen our food access network banks, protect vulnerable communities, and ensure that every resident has access to the meals they need. Now, I know Joey Fox, and he's not a bad guy. I've served on debate panels with him. But I have to disagree with Joey's formulation here. And that's not going to surprise you. It is not the Trump administration that is endangering SNAP or the Gateway Tunnel project in New York City up in North Jersey or the pay for our troops. It is a small gaggle of Democrat United States senators that, because of how the Senate rules work, are not giving us a clean continuing resolution. It's called a CR. It's on them. Republicans have at least nominal control of the House and the Senate, but we all know that the margins are tight. So for this sort of vote, they can't do it with just a bare majority of senators. So they need some Democrat votes, and Democrats are refusing to supply them. So look, not that we expect honesty out of Phil Murphy. I mean, what would you expect from a guy who's responsible for killing 10,000 seniors during COVID with his misguided policies that were stupid even at the time, even without the eventual benefit of hindsight, right? But, I mean, why doesn't he call Cory Booker, Spartacus? Why doesn't he call Andy Kim, our other senator in New Jersey, and tell them to do what John Fetterman's doing on the other side of the river, which is to extract their heads from their respective rear ends, stop playing games with people's lives, and open the government? Now, of course, Phil's not going to do this because Phil Murphy is a partisan Democrat, even though his future in national politics probably ain't going anywhere anytime soon. There was a time a couple years ago where he hoped to have a third act at the national level, but I think COVID more or less closed that path for him, as people's perceptions of his performance and of other governors like Andrew Cuomo, Gretchen Whitmer has corrected. Everyone knows better now. But wouldn't you think you'd do the right thing as we head into the holidays and people are going to be hungry? Look, I don't expect honesty from Democrats as a whole, but it'd be nice if every now and then one of them did what Fetterman did. And look, John Fetterman, you've heard my theory on this before. I'm not convinced that this is an honest conversion to sanity on some of these issues. He's still a pretty far left voter, reliable voter in the U.S. Senate on most issues. I think this is self-preservation now that Pennsylvania is a purple state leaning red these days, and he wants to get reelected first and foremost. That's every politician's number one goal, right? To get their rear ends reelected. But it doesn't make him wrong about this present set of circumstances. This is a Democrat shutdown. If this doesn't end soon and you have trouble flying to visit your family with your pumpkin crunch pie coming up here in just a few weeks because the FAA has had to throttle how many planes can take off from Philly International or Newark, you will know who to blame. It's not President Trump that's keeping the government closed. It's not John Thune in the Senate that's keeping the government closed. It's not the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. It's the Democrat Party. I mean, if Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey running for governor this year had any self-respect, she would go down to Washington, D.C., and she would actively lobby her own party to get them to the table to get the government open again so people don't starve. Honestly, I think if she ends up losing on Tuesday, November 4th, which I think is an increasingly real possibility, if the latest polling and the latest data is any indication, maybe that would have been a better play for her. Demonstrate a little bit of leadership instead of all the ad hominem crappy attacks up here on the trail that she's been levying at Jack Cittarelli. And I think our friends Alex Wilkes and Carlos Cruz that joined us in the last segment, I think they said very well, the reason why Mikey is getting more shrill down the stretch is because she knows she's got problems. She knows that her attacks are not landing the way she intended them to. She knows that the polling is tight. It's not just the public polls that you and I see. It's the internal polls of the respective parties and the political campaigns. We are thirsting for leadership in this country. And that's no different in Pennsylvania and New Jersey here in our core listening area. Look, ideology does matter. I'm an unapologetic federalist, limited government conservative. Have been my entire adult life since I've been aware of this stuff and have learned enough about it to comment on it. But at the same time, the American people are looking for solutions because our problems are only getting bigger because our leaders are getting smaller. And by smaller, I don't mean slight like Producer Dan. Because even though Producer Dan is about 50 pounds soaking wet, he has a large Batman-sized heart for anybody that doubts it. 65?
Yeah.
Ooh, you've been hitting the protein shakes?
Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit?
Yeah.
Bella's bulking you up for the holidays. Nobody likes a skinny Santa, Daniel.
Right, right, right. The suit would just, you know, come off of me.
By the way, next episode of the Matt Rooney Show, Christmas music?
If that's what you absolutely want.
I'm shocked.
Otherwise, no.
I'm shocked that you gave me that answer.
It's your program after all, isn't it?
It depends on the week, I guess. Doesn't always feel that way. The correct time, by the way, if anybody's curious when to start to listen to Christmas
after
music.
Thanksgiving.
After Election Day, it's acceptable.
No. Like, everyone has their own opinion. They might be wrong, but it's your opinion. And yours is just wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm right. I'm right. You can't overdo it. Just like you don't want to stuff yourself on the first course at Thanksgiving. You got to pace yourself. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But after Election Day, Halloween's out of the way. For me, it's a calming exercise, win or lose, whether my candidate won, my candidate lost. I like a little bit of jingle bells to bring me back down to earth. I think after Thanksgiving's a little excessive. Like, can't you just do it Thanksgiving week? You know, holiday week, you're baking a pumpkin pie, Dan. You're basting the turkey. Doesn't a little bit of holiday music put you in a festive mood?
No, you got to wait till after the parade when Santa comes to town. That's when it's officially Christmas season.
So when Santa Claus shows up at the Thanksgiving Day parade, that's when it's okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless America. You do you, as I always say.
Yep. And I will. You do you. You might be wrong, but you know what? That's the love of this country, isn't it?
God bless America. Are we going to have the same antagonistic relationship when we do the true crime podcast?
No.
It's going to be an entirely different vibe.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to lead that one, by the way. I'm going to be the color for that podcast because you're a lot more murdery than me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a lot more sadistic and psychopathic.
There's just a darker energy around you. I think anyone that knows us would agree with that.
Aura, as they say.
An aura. Aura, if you will.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I see lots of blacks and grays and dark tones emanating from you. Yeah, dark, like blood reds. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how it is. You know the deal. You know the vibes.
Oh, I know. I've been with you for a while now.
There was a brief time you weren't.
There was a brief time I wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, it was like a period without sunshine. I did.
Yeah.
I did. We've got some great producers around here, but you're solidly above average.
Thanks.
Solidly.
That's what Bella tells me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And she would know. She would know too. Listen, we're running out of time here, folks, but we've got one more segment still ahead. You know what it's called. You're not going to want to miss it, even though sometimes I wish that I had. Stick with us past this commercial break. You're not going to regret it here on 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
I'm watching Jack Cittarelli right now on Fox News, picking up another Democrat endorsement in Hudson County, former state assembly member. Look, in Hudson County, folks, it's as blue as it gets. That's Hoboken, right? That's Jersey Hoboken. City. Hoboken, home of Frank Sinatra. So if Jack continues to get momentum in the places where Democrats need supermajorities, he's going where Republicans don't always go. That's the thing that I love the most about this man, and one of the reasons I think he can be a great leader of the Republican Party if Tuesday goes the way that it should. Sometimes the Matt Rooney show doesn't always go as it should, but it ends the way that it does, folks. And remind me, Dan, what we call that segment?
Gather around.
It's Twit Talk time.
Producer Dan scours the internet and finds the most inane, depraved, sometimes thought-provoking, but also occasionally depressing content from Twitter, now called X, TwitTok, TikTok, and elsewhere. So why don't you tell us what you came up with this time? God help us.
So supposedly there's different meanings and different ways that my name is being said and the nicknames that are given. Really? I didn't know this about myself at all, but supposedly that's what the cool kids are saying on TikTok nowadays. Do you have any idea of what I'm talking about?
I have no idea, but I'm excited to find out.
You know, it's like when to call someone Daniel, when to call someone Dan, when to call someone Danny. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is pretty much sums up how that should go.
If you're gay, you go by Daniel. Dan, if you're straight, and Danny is obviously for the bis.
Got that?
Danny is for the bis?
Yeah, Dan is straight. And Daniel is gay.
I think that tracks.
Coming out.
You are a fancy little man. Insisting upon being called Daniel.
I guess, I mean, you call me Dan, so like, therefore, I guess it's straight.
Yeah, I would say it has, all kidding aside, I think it has less to do with being gay or straight, Dan versus Daniel. I think it has more to just do with general prissiness.
Yes.
Like for example, I'm Matt. People that insist upon being called Matthew, I don't think it necessarily means you're gay or straight or anything else. I think it's more just you're kind of a, you know, prissy pain in the keister.
Gotcha. Yes. Said it better than myself.
Wow, that's a rare admission coming from you.
You ever go to a full service oil change?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Many times.
Have you ever had it? Like, was it really full service?
I thought so. They cleaned my car. They changed the oil. They tried to bilk me for a bunch of stuff I didn't need, which is usually what happens.
This guy says otherwise, that it wasn't full service.
Just got kicked out of the full service oil change place for pulling my Peter out. If you don't mean full service, then don't say it, bud.
Ooh, yeah, well... I mean, shame on him, because if they're rotating your tires, changing your oil, washing your car, what's that cost you? It depends on where you go. A couple $100, a few $100, and you think it also includes that? I mean, the price point should have alerted him to his mistake.
Right. Just same thing when you go to a massage parlor and expect a happy ending.
It's amazing. It's amazing we have to describe and explain this stuff to people.
I guess so.
They should know. We have an education crisis in this country.
Fortune cookies. You familiar with a fortune cookie?
Yeah, sure I am.
All right. Well, our lovely, I don't know how we describe her. She has a fortune that she wants to read. Are you ready?
I doubt it, but let's do it anyway.
So it's time to reveal my fortune, you guys.
Oh, no.
I'm really excited.
I was trying to place what she sounds like, and I think I finally have. There's a lot of fox in my neighborhood. Foxes, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what they sound like when they scream at night. That's what a fox sounds like. Look it up.
Oh, I'm aware. That's what the whole "What Does a Fox Say" song sound like. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah. Going on, you said earlier you mentioned Christmas music starting next show.
Yep.
I'm gonna do one up. I'm gonna start it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised by this, but I'm excited.
I'm gonna start it right now. So we're gonna kick off the holiday season with the good old "Last Christmas" by Wham.
Ho, ho, ho.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. Yesterday, you sent it from cash. I'm giving it some satisfaction. Merry Christmas!
Was that a drunk Roseanne Barr?
No, that was a an Asian singer on TikTok.
Oh, my. You know, on second thought, how about after Thanksgiving? Let's play it your way. Let's play your way. Mission accomplished, Dan. You've convinced me.
When did you notice that you weren't gay?
When did I notice that I wasn't gay? Probably given my age cohort, better when did I know that that was a thing? Probably junior high is when you start thinking about that stuff, usually, right?
Yeah, well, this guy's starting a little early.
Freaky,
a little
early? I have a question. When did you realize that you weren't gay? Like what moment in time that you're just like, nah?
When I saw a girl with big bazongas and made my weenie stand up, how about you?
Well, that'd be about right.
Big bazongas made his weenie stand up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go, Daniel. This is why I say Twit Talk is regrettable.
Today's a treat for everyone. You ever realize why RFK always says Tylenol and not acetaminophen?
Yes, that's been a thing.
Yeah. Well.
Hey, RFK, how come you name dropped Tylenol and not acetaminophen?
Because I can't say it's meth.
Oh my god. Particularly depraved today.
Yeah.
And I want to make it clear again for any of the new listeners, because I know especially in election season, I don't endorse Dan. I don't endorse any of these clips. This is simply a sociological journey into the depravity that Dan finds funny on the internet. Correct. Just needed to give that disclaimer.
Correct. I look at these videos and I'm like, damn, Matt would love that.
Yes, and, it's all designed to make me uncomfortable.
Correct.
Yes, yeah. 100%.
That's why this show is one of a kind, because you're not going to get Twit Talk on any other show.
No, you're not.
I got two. One ends off with a Theovon, all right? And then the other one is... a special one. It's kind of a song, but it's not really a good song, but it's kind of a weird song. But it might be something. How, you know how like we did the Barney episodes?
Yes.
That's might be in the direction that I want to go, but you can deny that if you will. It's a song called from Momo the Clown. Well, not Momo the Clown, Momo the Cat. So it's supposed to mimic like a children's song, but it has a lot of sinister meaning to it.
Well, with a description like that, what are we waiting for?
Yeah. Exactly. My mommy has a microphone. She hides inside her drawer. Though she only likes to sing real loud when daddy's at the store. I brought it in for music class and watched the lights get brighter. But all I told the batchman was he put Then daddy came to the school. And he looked extra salty. I think he's jealous of my singing. Cause mommy says his pipes are faulty. Now grandma's here to pick me up. But her brain's like mushy fruit. Cause she took my favorite microphone and said it'll be a good meat substitute. Remember the cat.
Folks, it's been great being on the air. Sorry about the cancellation. We had four and a half good years here on the Matt Rooney Show.
Yeah, I gotta go out with a bang.
Cleanse my palate on the way out the door with some Theo Von, that wholesome atlas of American culture.
You remember earlier we talked about poo bearing?
Yes.
All right. Well, this basically is some guy wants his advice on poo bearing.
Can't wait.
Is it gay to sleep with a shirt but nothing below the waist?
Is gay to sleep with a dude? That's the real litmus test, I think. Onward.
I mean, you can't disagree with his logic, right? I mean, that ultimate test, yeah.
Yeah, you can't disagree with it at all.
Yeah, no judgment, folks, but, you know. Theo, he's the great philosopher king of our time. I wish he could be the governor of New Jersey. No such luck. We will more than settle for Jack Cittarelli, folks. So remember, on our way out the door here, Election Day, November 4th, if you have not voted already, vote for your future. Vote for my future, for goodness sakes, right? I have to live here, too, just like many of you in the Matt Rooney Show audience. Of course, we'll be back next Saturday to recap it all. I will be on the morning show, Kale and Company, on Tuesday, Election Day, to give you a final preview. And we might have a few other surprises in store. So just stay tuned to your favorite conservative station. In the interim, remember, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it. Vote, vote, vote.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.